रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेद से रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः। बालकांड चैप्टर नंबर 58 द रॉयल चंडाला द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। टू विच लोली रिक्वेस्ट ऑफ द रॉयल त्रिशंकु द सन्स ऑफ वशिष्ठ गेव क्विक रिप्लाई विंग्ड विद रैथ। O evil-minded man, rejected hast thou been by our Lord Vashishtha, who speaks true, and darest thou seek any other, passing by so lightly the dread son of Brahma? The royal Ikshvakus, every one of them, know no other master than the high priest, and his word once gone forth, the truth speaker, they dare not say nay. The sacrifice he has pronounced impossible in your case, dare we dream of it? A boy art thou, nay, but a child, though many winters have passed over thy head and blind fortune has made me king. Seek thou thy home even as thou came. The Lord Vashishtha alone has the right and the might to conduct any sacrifice, be it to gain the bright spears above or the dull globes below. And who are we to dare insult his majesty by offering to set about a thing he has once declared impossible? But the king, nothing daunted by the words of winged flame from the lips of his master's son, spoke in humbler accents still. Denied have I been by my master Vashishtha, and no better treatment have I received at the hands of his son. So now what remains for me but to seek another protector, since you would drive me to it? All good be yours, wealthy beyond count in your holy meditations. The sons of Vashishtha could not believe their senses. What? A member of the house of Ikshvaku cutting himself away the spiritual ties that bound him, strong as the bands of fate, to his high priest, the Lord Vashishtha, the mind-born son of Brahma, eternally wedded unto the royal house, father and son, and seeking the feet of another even in thought? What madness thus to lay the axe at the root of this house? How utterly black and horrid should be the heart of such a monster. In a fit of uncontrollable fury, they cursed him in words of withering flame. Wretch, quit thou the form of Kshatriya and take thou the degraded shape of a Chandala. They spoke and entered the holy abodes as if to avoid the foul sight of the traitor. The rosy fingers of morn drew aside with a deft touch the dark curtains around the bed of the sleeping world as Trishanku, the king of radiant presence, found himself transformed into a vile Chandala. Not a semblance of one in heart or in nature, but the very thing itself. For each grade of society is based on rigid and unswerving discharge of the duties eternally attached thereunto, and once that a member fails in it, nay, in the slightest, he becomes what he has made himself consciously and voluntarily. His bright robes flashing with gold and gems were changed into the dirty black rags of the outcast. The stately form of golden hue now took on a hideous tint, dark as guilt and more repulsive. His once shining locks, now a tangled mass of wool, short and coarse. Of forbidding aspect, his shoulders were graced with garlands of flowers that erstwhile lay on the corpses in crematorium. The ashes of the dead covered his limbs and took the place of the delicate scented sandal paste and the rare perfumes. An unsightly strip of leather lay on the broad and massive chest where once gleamed the sacred thread of gold, the badge of the twice born. And curious ornaments of black iron but added to the horror of the degradation. His ministers and counselors fled away in affright from him, the outcast Chandala, and the loyal citizens followed at their heels. But he, the proud monarch, a day before, wended his weary way all alone. The cruel talons of shame and anger dug at the root of his heart. By titan-like, undaunted, yet he stood and unconquerable. Vishwamitra was the man he approached. Vishwamitra, the deadliest foe of Vishishta, who had said him nay, whose sons had lodged their terrible curse upon him, even Vishwamitra of fiery will and terrible energy. Vishwamitra cast his eyes on the proud scion of the royal race of Ikshvaku, whose hopes here and hereafter were shattered to nothing by his mortal enemy Vasishta and his sons. Grievous pity filled his heart to see the ruler of men approaching him in the despised guise of a chandala, and out of that great pity did the righteous sage of dazzling luster address the lord of Ayodhya, now no gentle sight. Hail to thee and all good. What brings thee here? The son of a king thou, of invisible might, hast thou fallen on evil days? Ruler of the stately Ayodhya, how hast thou come to be cursed to become a chandala? To which kind inquiry of his brother monarch did Trishanku, chandala against his will, render meek reply. Spurned have I been, cried he over his folded palm, by my guru Vasishta and his sons. What I sought them for I have not got, but what I never bargained for, what I could never deserve, nay, what I would flee away from, that I have received at their hands, and in no small measure. Strong is the desire of my heart to send the tomes of the shining ones in this mortal frame of mine. Sacrifices innumerable have I performed, but I am no whit nearer the realization of my hopes. Nor have I given utterance to an untruth, nor will hereafter. So I cannot for a moment believe that any breach of truth on my part has nullified the effect of my sacrifices. I am now in the coils of adversity, but I swear to you on the honor of a Kshatriya that I speak the bare truth. Never have I failed in the regular and the conscientious discharge of my daily duties, sacrificed to the gods, to the fathers, and to the various orders of the beings, just and wise government of my people, humble service to my spiritual guides and the other high-souled ones, meet and acceptable. Ever do I seek to walk in the straight and narrow path of right and duty, but my teachers look not with favor upon me when I pray them to conduct for me a rite to gain me a seat among the gods. Verily do I think that fate has the last word in our affairs, and free will and individual effort are but as light grains of dust before it. Fate rules supreme over everything. Fate is the sole and last arbiter of joy and sorrow, good and bad. It behooves you to stretch out to me the hand of help, a wretch whom the wheel of fortune has flung lower than the lowest, and whose turn he awaits with an eager heart. May your glory never grow less. Cruel fate, inexorable, has pierced my shield, shattered my spear, and beat me down to my very knees. I have reached the end of my resources. I throw myself on your limitless compassion and pray to sit under the shadow of your might. No other protector shall I seek, for protector have I none. To your holy feet do I cling, and will not quit them, even though the mighty Vasishta should pray it of me to go back unto him. Utmost confidence have I, nay, it is a certainty with me that you and you alone can, if you will, lightly set aside strong fate and make it powerless. Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanrajaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.